everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The Killer Bees!
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highland Pines Golf Club in Porter.
Don't sweat the technique.
It's the Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of the Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, Basetown? Hey, how you doing?
All right, he's Joe. I'm B-Mac. No, I'm trying
all right,
to
so Joel and Jeremy still aren't here.
Yeah, no, they're still golfing.
They're golfing. So we're going to hang out until they get here because they're more important than us, they think. You know, I haven't been working all day, grinding away, drinking coffee, talking about sports. But we're here. So how's it going, B-Mac?
Oh, it's going pretty good. I mean, I got to give you advice about cats today. I wasn't expecting to be able to do that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we're going to – I'm trying to think – let's talk about what they talked about. I'm going to save the Fromber stuff for them.
Yeah,
I know
yeah,
people
Fromber
are listening,
lead,
like,
obviously.
But like, I'll save some of the Fromber stuff for them. But I'm going to go back to what we were talking about earlier with Paul and I and you as well. So I brought up the fact that like with Fromber, the way things went yesterday, that I would personally be open to the idea of trading him this year at the deadline. And I know if you're just joining now and you're expecting to hear the Killer Bees, we are kind of jumping over like what exactly happened in the game, but it was a total disaster in the fifth inning. Framber Valdez had gone 11 straight innings with 10 strikeouts, giving up 8 hits with Yiner Diaz as his catcher. So he had been doing very, very good. And then all of a sudden, he just decides to start throwing 99. He's throwing stuff down the middle. It's hit, hit, home run. Gives up another big home run. And the Astros have this controlling victory through 4, and then things just absolutely collapsed on them. It was just a disaster.
I mean, how many times do you see in a game where, I mean, I'd be curious to see how many times this has happened in Major League history, to give up 2 3-run home runs in the same inning?
Oh.
I can't imagine that's happened more than a handful of times
no,
in baseball
it's,
history.
I mean, it's Fromber definitely
has joined an elite list of duds, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think it's
I'm sure it's happened, but it's got to be a tiny list. 3-run home runs in the same inning by the same pitcher?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
And not to mention he gave up another home run still. Like it wasn't.
Well, yeah,
those weren't the only 2 home runs he gave up that inning.
Because most of the time, like you would
get pulled.
Yeah, you would.
You don't get a chance to give up the 7th run.
And that's what's tough with yesterday's game, because like there is a portion of blame. Like if you look at the blame pie chart, like there's a little bit on Yiner for either not standing up to Framber Valdez when they go to the mound the first time and kind of ratting on his teammate or just telling him face-to-face, that like, hey, man, stop calling your own stuff. It's not working. This is not a good idea. Let's revert back to the game plan. There's Josh Miller, who, if he was aware, also didn't stop it. There's Joe Espada, who didn't stop it and let it happen and should have intervened. I know typically you don't see the manager walk out to the mound unless there's a pitching change, but that might be one of the rare moments where it's worth that discussion to be had. Where, hey, man, we don't want to take you out of this game, but what you're trying to accomplish right now is not working. There's other members of the team so that are small portions of blame. But the biggest pie of this is Framber Valdez. That to decide to just go rogue in the fifth inning in the way he did was just such an awful, awful decision. And the hardest part, Brian, for me is, like, it's just illogical.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, too. Like, it's not like Yiner and him were getting worked.
Right.
And then they
You'd only given up 1 run through 4 innings.
Yeah. Like, it's not like he was getting smoked. And he's like, you know what, guys? Like, I'm taking this over. I'm in charge now. I'm the captain now. And then I'm going to handle this. Things are going well. Like, I just don't get it.
No, and it's the big reason why I'm done with Framber as the team's quote unquote ace. Like I mean, we can have the conversation if he's got ace talent. I mean, clearly he's shown it in the past with the quality start streak, the big postseason starts like a Game 6 in 2021 against the Red Sox, and obviously Game 6 of the World Series against the Phillies in 2022. But he's just shown too many occasions where he's mentally either fragile, weak, however you want to describe it. We saw the Twins, led by his former teammate Carlos Correa, rattle him in his start against the Twins last year in the ALDS. There's just too much with Fromber that you can't trust him from start to start. And as we approach the time where, and this goes to your conversation that you had earlier about would you trade him, as you start to inch closer and closer to the point where you have to make a contract decision on him, he's approaching the wrong side of 30, or maybe he might already be 30, but he's already too old to give a long-term contract. He's inconsistent. You have questions about his mental weakness. And now he pulls this stunt, which is something, as you brought up, he tried in spring training, it failed, and then he just went, in business for Team Fromber last night? I am completely out on the idea of keeping Fromber past what his current contract is. And I would, like you said, entertain the idea of training him if you're going to be able to get back a worthy trade package.
And that's even, if it's Team Fromber, but, it's been going well, dude. Why is Team Fromber in that moment? Is this the decision that's running through your head? I saw it all over social media. I think the text line, the Twitch were saying it earlier, too. It's like he was bored.
I don't think he was just bored.
He's like, I'm going to change it up.
I don't think he was bored. I think this might have been a ploy to, hey, look, I'm cruising. We're up 4-1. Things are going well. The Angels aren't a good team. I could dominate them. Let this be the time that I go ahead and try my own stuff. That way, in his mind, when it works, I can then go make the case to a spotter to try this again on a full-time basis.
I
think he was trying to use the moment and use that to hijack things and go and have it go back to a way that he prefers it and make that his case for it. But obviously, it blew up in his face spectacularly.
Big time. This is where we normally do the lineup stuff, right?
What's wrong with the spotter's lineup?
It's been so long since I've been on the Killer Bees. It's been 4 months.
So the lineup's out?
So the lineup is out. Okay. So Altuve leads off at second. Tucker bats second in right field. Jordan Alvarez is your DH batting third. Alex Bregman bats fourth. At third base, Jeremy Pena bats fifth at shortstop. John Singleton, still your first baseman for now. Batting next, Jake Myers in center field, batting seventh. Yainer Diaz catching today and making his return to the lineup. And batting ninth is Chaz McCormick.
Where do you fall with Chaz? Because there's been, a big conversation, and it almost feels disingenuous because it's not like we're talking about, a bunch of guys that have, five all-star appearances under their belt. But you have kind of a quote-unquote log jam in the outfield with Loper Fido, Jake Myers, who's been hitting really well, and then now Chaz returning, who hit really well last year, hit well to start the season, but then struggled and got hurt. I don't know how you split up those innings. I don't know if it was Jeremy or Joel suggested a true right-left platoon with Loper Fido and Chaz, because Chaz hits lefties well. Loper Fido, obviously, is a lefty, probably would be better against righties. I don't know how you feel about that. And then I would obviously mean Jordan would have to be your DH most of the time because Jake's going to play in center.
Well, good. I like that. Sure. That's a good start. That's where, to me, Jake Myers is everyday center fielder. Needs an off day, fine. Give it to him.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, Jake Myers. When he needs the off day, it's Dubon. Yeah. I don't think you mess with left field.
Yeah, until Jake Myers proves that this is a fluke and he cannot keep this rolling to at least similar level, he doesn't have to be an 800-plus OPS guy.
He's 85 right now.
He's crushing the baseball. I don't think he's going to be – even when James Click and guys of the past have talked about Jake Myers, I don't think this is who they thought they were talking about, the stretch he's in right now. He's on an absolute heater. But can he be a very good baseball player? Yes. Should he be your everyday center fielder going forward? Yes. The split, I would be okay with that, but Chaz isn't going to play that often.
The problem, because if you stick to that true left-right platoon, because you're going to face way more righties than lefties, you're taking a player who was, maybe one of your top three hitters last season. I mean, certainly by OPS he was. And you're putting him on the bench 70% of the time.
So with Spencer Arrighetti and Joey Loper Fido, I think both those guys have been very impressive, Loper Fido even more than Arrighetti, whose last two starts have been very good, I would send both those guys down as Jose Urquidy and Jose Abreu return to this team, because I just think that they're going to get more valuable time in the minors. Arrighetti, I want to keep him stretched out So in case there's an injury in the future, I'd put Hunter Brown in the bullpen. And with Joey, I would send him down, and I would, you know, Paul and I have been talking about this a lot. Like his outfield, his athleticism is great, but if Jose Abreu is awful again, I want Joey Loperfido just to be the everyday first baseman. Like Singleton's been a good story. His defense has been very good, but the bat, he's back. I think he's below 230 at this point.
He is, and his OPS is below 700 again.
So I would be fine if Loperfido went down with the intent of learning how to play first base on a consistent basis, and then Chaz and Dubon is more your split in left field. And like that's just kind of the way you roll going forward. That, to me, that works for me.
It does. I mean, Loperfido, I know he apparently spent some time playing first at Duke in college. And I know there was a time when Bagwell was down in Sugar Land working with him at first, and he got at least a few starts at first base. Doesn't it feel like a rush in the middle of the season, though, to have the expectation of, okay, he's going to spend a month playing first base.
Big time.
And then he's going to be able to come up and field it at the major league level? Now, Jose Abreu was a butcher when he was here earlier this season at first base. So maybe you could argue, well, he can't be any worse than Jose Abreu. But I would worry about not only Loperfido being able to handle it from a defensive position, but if he's worried about his defense, we've seen guys in the past where when they're not comfortable in the field, it then affects them at the plate as well.
Yeah, big time. And that is a concern for sure. If there was a world in which, like, because, like, Greg Kessinger is such a useless roster spot.
He has
11 at-bats on the season. So if there's
a
way.
Major player.
Yeah, but so I guess in theory, like, Loperfido could take Kessinger's spot. And they could adjust the roster that way now that Cabbage has officially been sent down already too. But it's like he's got to play. Kessinger, he's a 4A guy. He's barely he's barely a 4A guy. He's more just a AAA player. And we'll see. The Astros first base situation has kind of baffled me this year. Like Victor Caratini has reps at first base. I don't think he started a game this year for them there. Dubon has played, one game? And they chose Dubon over Loperfido, to what you're saying,
right,
to play first base in that game. So,
look, and I believe Dubon played at least one game last year at first base
so, too, yeah. So it's an interesting spot.
So did Yonder Diaz.
Yeah, and we haven't seen Yonder at first base this year. So
sure,
who knows? So it's endless possibilities. We'll continue to get to this as we wait for Joel and Jeremy to return from their day of golf. The only evidence we have so far is at one point Jeremy did post a video in which he acknowledged that Joel outdrove him.
Really?
However,
just one singular drive? What, the first drive of the day?
It was in the middle of the day. But it's like a yard difference at most. And because of the ball positioning, Jeremy was technically closer to the pin. So they probably used Jeremy's ball. So technically Joel outdrove him. So it's like, it was like a compliment.
Was that the only time that Joel outdrove him?
I don't know. That's the only video we've seen so far, the only evidence that we have. So we don't know if they've been fighting, if they want to kill each other more than like another day that ends in Y. We'll find out when they eventually show up. It's Joe, it's BMAC. Joel and Jeremy will be here eventually. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highland Pines Golf Club for ESPN 97.5 and 92.5's Occasional Invitational. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Not so fast. Joel and Jeremy, come on, they're late.
Was that your Lee Corso impression?
Not so fast.
It needs a little work.
I need to bleep it in there, too. Go
Gibbs. Yeah,
what a great moment that is in College Game Day history.
I mean, he's reached the age where you could curse on TV without getting in trouble.
Oh, 100%. Like, there's very few people that can really get away with it. Lee Corso's one of them.
Lee Corso could absolutely.
Yeah.
He can say almost anything he wants to get away with.
Yeah.
I said almost.
There's quite a bit he can get away with. But, I mean, I guess you can't really cancel someone who's probably going to, like, be gone
in
the next, like, 3 years.
Wow. It's got bleak all of a sudden.
Oh, whatever.
But it's the truth. No, you're right. You're not wrong.
So I guess this is where we do wrong answer only, like what went wrong on the golf course today with Joel and Jeremy. I'm not going to read them, so just text them in all the heinous things. Who hit the most balls into the water? Who hit the most balls in the water? Joel or Jeremy?
I'll say Jeremy.
Agreed. Though Joel did tell me that he didn't even realize he couldn't find his golf shorts. Lance looks like he's in one piece.
Maybe not. He's not limping, so
I don't know.
I think he came out of it okay.
That was a big, deep breath and head shake as he walked away.
He looks beat. Like, his face is red, but I was worried he was going to come out of this limping from all his exploits, tripping and falling all over himself on the disc golf course. So he's walking, and he's not limping, so I think that's a win for Lance.
All right, so we think that Jeremy hit more balls into the water. I'm going to say they also use Joel's shots more often than they use Jeremy's.
I can see Jeremy being more aggressive and Joel playing it more safe to not have the embarrassing moment.
That says a lot about their personalities.
It does, yeah. Joel's going to play it safe because he doesn't want to be embarrassed. He doesn't want to hit out of sand. He doesn't want to hit into the water. So yeah. I think Joel's going to land more shots within the green,
okay.
I guess. But Jeremy might have the more spectacular shots because he's going to take more chances.
Yeah, that makes sense. I tend to agree with that. All right, so Fromber. I think what's most interesting about, for me, what's next for him, I am curious to see who catches the next game because they went to Victor Caratini for quite a while. They go back to Yiner the last two starts, but with what happened in the fifth inning, I do wonder if there is some kind of reaction within the clubhouse, within Joe Spada, like the decision-making, that they say, okay, we are going to go back to Victor because that's clearly who you feel more comfortable with, and we're going to continue that going forward. And so that is kind of what I wonder if that's the next step in this.
There's got to be
Caratini is the catcher again.
There's got to be something from Joe Espada to assert control in the situation.
Yes.
I think we've all had criticisms. I mean, the first time he get ejected, it looked like they were talking about their lunch orders. He was barely even heated.
He doesn't have a lot of fire.
No, he doesn't have a lot of fire. But I think this is a spot, and maybe this is overselling it, but I don't think it is. But this is a spot for a manager in his first season. The season hasn't gone how you expected. Obviously, everyone's disappointed. Everyone's upset with the results so far. This has got to be a spot where Joe Espada takes control of the team. This is a spot where your pitcher, Fromber Valdez, went out and did his own thing. Basically, directly disobeyed what you wanted him to do. This has got to be a spot where Joe Espada's got to show leadership in the locker room and take that power back. Otherwise, I think this could have ripple effects of veterans also doing kind of whatever they want.
Well, and that's where I view the Verlander thing that happened the day before with Contreras very differently. Verlander was just shaking off Yiner a lot, and it was a great at bat.
Should he have thrown that many fastballs in a row, though?
Probably not, but it's also
at some point you have a base open. CV chases a slider and live with it.
He's also a Hall of Famer and probably the most likely candidate, and maybe one of the last ones of our lifetime to get to 300
wins.
Oh,
yeah, he would be. If he gets there, I think he would be.
I do view, like, these situations very differently.
Because of the leash?
Because of who you are.
Sure.
Like, you get a certain, you know, grace based on status. Like, if this was Spencer Arrighetti, you would send him down to the minors immediately. There would be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, he's absolutely gone. Fromber is still a very good pitcher. Like, as frustrated as I am, however, you know, I know what I want to see the Astros do going forward. I do not want him to be on the opening day roster at a minimum in the start of 2025. I don't. I just think it would be a mistake. But he is still a very good pitcher. But he's not JV. And JV had one at bat that didn't go well. Where Fromber, like, if he was in his right state of mind, after the first home run, he would have pivoted. And said, hey, let's go back to the game plan.
I don't think you could trust Fromber to be that level-headed, though. There's nothing in his profile that has shown that he is someone that thinks logically in the way that you just described. I think there's another, you know, unfortunately, a drop ball in terms of leadership from Espada and the pitching coaches. Once they noticed that Fromber was going off plan, there had to be something where they went out there and corrected the situation.
Yeah.
It got way too far before, I mean, seemingly no one ever did anything. I mean, they didn't really address it till the game was over. Someone in that dugout, someone besides Fromber and Yonder, had to know things were going off script.
Yeah. Now, it did unravel very fast. How much of this do you put on not just the start but the end result of the game of not going to the bullpen faster to try to – you know, fix this problem quickly. How much of this is on Espada?
I would still put, as you said last segment, the bulk of it on Fromber. I don't know, 75, 80%. Ultimately, he's the one that messed up. He's the one that went rogue.
Uh-huh.
But I do think Espada's got to be one to either go out there or send, you know, the pitching coach out there to make the correction. Like, hey, listen to your catcher or I'm pulling you. And then if that doesn't happen, go ahead and send the hook. I mean, especially before the second home run goes out.
Yeah, I do question, like, if, you know, we see in baseball all the time, a lot of guys have, like, the guys who can get up extra quick and, like, in an emergency
sure.
situation, they can warm up and be ready to go. It doesn't really feel like the Astros have that guy. I mean, like, maybe
yeah.
Seth Martinez. Like, I don't know if they have someone that you really want or trust to, like, hey, like, he's going to get ready super-duper fast. And that's just – that's not, like, a skill you learn. There are just certain pitchers that it takes them less warm-up tosses to get ready.
I guess I'm forgetting here. Was anyone warming up after the first three-run homer?
No.
Well, that's where I would have said someone should at least started warming up. Now,
yeah.
Could they have been ready before the second three-run homer?
Probably
I don't
not.
Know. Probably not. I don't know. But someone should have been once the I mean it's a two-run lead. You're still leading at that point. But someone should be warming if you give up a three-run homer.
Yeah, you got to think that. Now, I guess the mindset is you have a sinker ball pitcher out there who gets mostly groundouts. You can get three home runs in one inning.
But
it seems unlikely.
It does, but I remember looking at this, doing research for the bullpen last year. There were stretches of last season, especially over the second half when Fromber was struggling outside of that no-hitter on August 1st, where when you looked at his game logs, he was getting more outs by fly ball than ground ball. Like
yeah.
he was reversing his normal splits on that ground ball to fly ball ratio. So I agree with you. He is a sinker ball or ground ball pitcher, but we've seen at times him get out of sync in that regard. And I don't know if I would completely trust just because he's naturally a ground ball pitcher. If he's given up the three-run homer, I'm at least putting it in my mind that this might be a day where the fly ball is coming and I'm getting someone up.
Yeah, I get why Joe Espada is getting a lot of criticism right now. A lot of it's funny. It does feel like to what you mentioned a little bit ago about the that first ejection where a lot of it does seem people's biggest issues with Joe Espada does seem to go back to that, to his reaction to that first ejection, his reaction when Blanco was ejected, which they're projecting him back on Sunday, who also, I don't know if it matters, but he got torched yesterday by guys like Greg Kessinger in his in his live bullpen. And then, you know, in yesterday's situation, again, where even after the game, I did think we were going to see a little less measured response.
I mean, how do you think Dusty would have handled it? Like, I mean, specifically, I think he would
have... Well, see, Joe Espada is just chill all
right.
the time.
I certainly think Dusty would have acted in a much more...
disappointed dad.
Well, I was talking about the first ejection. Like, Dusty certainly would have been way more animated than Joe Espada was in that first ejection. But specifically with Fromber, like, I don't think Fromber is still in the game to give up the third home run if Dusty's managing the team.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, Dusty certainly was a player's manager. And not that he wasn't trusting, but I think he would have felt. I think he would have gone with his gut and like, look, Fromber's lost. Fromber's lost.
Yeah.
Because it was often the criticism we would say of Dusty. He goes with his gut over the numbers. I think in that situation, had Espada gone with quote unquote the gut like Dusty would have, he would have been yanked at least before the third home run.
Yeah, I think Joe Espada's done a fine job this year, and so has Yiner Diaz and Victor Caratini. But that fifth inning yesterday is really the one time where I go, man. This probably does not happen if Maldi and Dusty are here.
No, I couldn't see it happening.
And like, you never know. Like, I mentioned this when I was doing, you know, the normal shift with Paul, that there's this art that there's – this has kind of happened before. Lance got shelled in a start because he kind of started calling his own shot with Maldi behind the plate. But then they corrected that after that inning or after that game, and Lance was much better after that. So it's not impossible for this stuff to happen. Like – Fromber is not the only pitcher who's ever done this.
Right.
To me, the reason why this is a story, because I get why, like, there's some pushback, like there was earlier from the Twitch about, like, why is this such a big deal? Like, this happens, we just don't know about it. I think the bigger deal is that I don't know how often your pitcher in Fromber, your catcher in Yiner, your manager in Espada, so openly after the game acknowledge what happened, admit fault at what happened, and admit blame at what happened. And even Fromber blamed himself. That, to me, is why this story has a little more legs on it than it traditionally would.
I mean, you're right. Fromber's not the only pitcher to ever call pitches for himself. I think the question is what you raised with the reaction after the game. And also, I think you just have to know the personality of your pitcher. Like, Fromber's not a guy that I would trust to do that. He's just too easily rattled. Mm-hmm. And to your point about the reaction and the quotes we saw after the game, maybe this is the first time, or as I had hoped for earlier in this segment, that Espada is starting to insert more control over the situation. The fact that those quotes made it to the media instead of just saying, hey, you know, he misses – like, because Espada could have easily gone out there and said, hey, he misses location – you know, things happen like that. It's baseball, 162, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He could have easily used coach speak and talked that away until people stopped asking about it. The fact that he kind of threw Fromber under the bus lets me know that this, you know, Espada is certainly maybe even more frustrated than we are, and maybe some things will start to be addressed. Maybe this was a tipping point for Joe Espada.
Yeah, I do feel like he had every right, if he wanted to as well, to have driven the bus over him more. He could have gone back and forth a couple times. And I think it's probably the best decision with someone like Fromber to not do that. But I could have very much understood why they would have. All right, it's the Killer Bees here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Looks like everyone's back from golfing except for Joel and Jerry. So we'll just keep it going here on ESPN 97.5.
Are they just trading shots into the water so neither one of them has to work?
Yeah, who's worse, Joel or Jeremy? I think that's what we're finding out right now on the golf course. It's ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highland Pines Golf Club for ESPN 97.5 and 92.5's Occasional Invitational. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, guess what? Joe George. We're back.
Again?
Brian McDonald's here as well. Joel and Jeremy are finally in the building. They're big timing me, though. They think that they're deserving of water.
I mean, they did have a very taxing day
of playing
golf.
And hitting the ball into the water. So, you know, they're finally on their way back. I swear to God, though, I think Jeremy is going to get food right now.
I
told Jeremy he could wait to get on the air to get water.
Yeah, you said, hey,
he's
going to get food. No, he's getting food.
He's skipping the water. He's going right for the food. That's not what we agreed to.
I think you're having your Joe Espada moment here. Joe George, you are the APD. Assert your authority.
Has he gone on the air about why he's going to start calling me Joe Espada?
No.
I wasn't sure if that was a public conversation or a private conversation.
I've not heard of that.
All right, well, I'm going to make it public then, and then people can make fun of it. It's a bad look on me.
Spill the tea.
It's probably a bad look on me. So last week the article came out that Joe Espada has poor communication. And that two of the veteran players on the team were angry with Joe Espada's communication. So, like, that next day or so, I get a text. I get, ding, Jeremy Branham. I'm going to start calling you Joe Espada. I'm like, what? Why? Why am I Joe Espada? I'm passionate. I'll drop F-bombs on you if you make me mad.
You're certainly more passionate than Joe Espada, yes.
Like, I'll fight you if you want. I'm like, what did I do? Like, what did I do wrong?
The amount of people you can fight, though, is limited.
I'll try to fight you. I said, what did I do wrong? Well, starting tomorrow when we're broadcasting at the Highway Cantina, you're filling in for Michael Carroll, our production director. I forgot to tell Jeremy that tomorrow and then Thursday at Texas Star Grill Shop that Jeremy was going to have to engineer his own show.
Okay.
So he said, I'm going to start.
Because he knew I was going to be out, like I told him 2-3 weeks ago.
So he said, I'm going to start calling you Joe Espada for poor communication. You know what I told him? I was like, well, I don't need to communicate with you because I know the Cougs are not even qualifying for the Big 12 baseball tournament. So I knew you were available. Because I did learn that in the Big 12 tournament, they don't invite every single team.
So you woke up and chose violence.
I mean, he is probably in the right here. Like Joel and Jeremy often when I was on the B's tried to give me feedback on my management skills.
Okay.
They weren't usually constructive.
It was more just belittling you?
Yeah, it was more belittling, bullying.
Is that why you bully others? Is because you were bullied by Joel?
I only bully Blair Henley. I will say, if like the Henley family is upset with me and the things that I say about him in the past, I will say it's probably Joel and Jeremy's fault. Because,
really?
Like, I have to bully someone. What, am I going to bully my three-year-old? Like, I'm a good parent.
No,
okay?
I think the three-year-old bullies you by refusing to eat the pasta you made.
He just frustrates me. He just doesn't listen.
Again, this is your Joe Espada moment. You got to assert dominance. He shook you off. You put pasta on the table, he shook you off.
He shook me off.
It said ice cream. Did you give in? Did he get ice cream last night?
Can I start? Can I go home? Joel's going to mingle with the people. All right, we'll just keep going for the next segment. I mean, it's just one thing after another.
You didn't answer my question.
I mean, what was your question?
Did the little one get ice cream last night?
Oh, no, he did not. No, okay. he ate his pasta first.
All right, well, that's good.
I didn't realize that this Joe Espada story, calling me Joe Espada, was not the not going to make it on air. Now I feel like I just embarrassed myself. Which means it's just another day that ends in Y.
Yeah.
At least I'm not trying to do math here. But Christian Javier is on the mound tonight. Tonight is a game, I feel like. Not a big game. It's an important game. Just because the way the
season... Come on. Go full sports radio. Say it's a must-win.
No, it's not.
Come on.
Even if they lose, it's okay. But...
Joe, losing's not okay.
You can't unravel.
Don't accept failure.
Like, that is my only thing about tonight's game, is that why I view it as an important game and... Must win like 2%, like 50%-ish.
You jumped from 2 to 50? That's a big jump.
I was going to go 2 out of 10, and then I was like, I'm going to jump this up.
But you didn't know what percentage that was?
Yep. No, I did, but I'm just going to agree with you. But, like, you don't want things to unravel. The way things have gone this season, like, you're back on the right track. You win 2 out of 3. That's all that really matters. Like, that is really all that matters, is that you win 2 out of 3 games in this series. You move on to Oakland, and then you go from there. You hope to be within striking distance when you face the Mariners. But you want to win tonight's game. Like, the way it unraveled for you with Fromber, a bounce-back win is important for this team, but it's not a must-win.
Yeah, you got to reclaim good vibes. I mean, that's kind of what you and Paul talked about. I mean, this is a stretch of the schedule where you're expected to make up ground, right? You got 9 of the 12 against the A's and the Angels, two bad teams. The only other team mixed in there were the Brewers, and you took 2 out of 3 from them. So this is a chance to recall some of the gap or some of the games you gave up in the division earlier in the season. You can't let that opportunity slip by because, I mean, coming up, you're going to have teams like the Mariners on the schedule. It's not going to be nearly as easy as this. I mean, we've seen people on the text line say, you know, whoopee, you know, who cares? They're beating up the A's and the Angels. Well
then last night's loss doesn't matter.
Right. If you lose a series to the Angels, that's even more, you know, even worse than, quote unquote, you know, just getting the easy cupcake wins. But yeah, I you can't call it a must win, obviously, but they need to reclaim some of their good vibes.
All right,
hello, Jeremy.
We're going to take this opportunity to not give Joel a microphone. Did you shoot better than him today?
Well, I mean, it's a scramble, Joe.
Did you do?
You can't,
did
your ball, you're on,
was your ball,
you're on the same team,
was your ball used more often than his team?
No, so we actually did a thing in a scramble.
I saw the video
Gilbert,
you posted.
Yeah, that was Blankers and I both had a good drive on a single hole, and he outdrove me by 1 inch. But because of the angle, I was actually closer to the pin. So who had a better drive? Debatable. We actually played a money game that I've never played in a scramble before. We had great partners, Gilbert and Dave. They were fantastic. Great round of golf. Thanks so much to you for allowing us to play. I think that the
341.
We probably enjoyed it more than they did. But we played a money game where you got a point for every shot that you took in a scramble.
Okay.
And then, you know, if you have, you know, Blankers has 20, I have 21, and the other guys
have
like 15 and 10, then they have to pay the difference. I don't know how it turned out because we said, hey, just use it to tip the cart girl. But Blankers dominated.
Ooh.
It was about even on the front nine maybe, and then Blankers on the back nine went nuts.
All right.
Blankers carried our team. He was our A player. It's probably we were only three under. But, no, Blankers has game. And I knew he had game. I knew that he was a good golfer. I know he hadn't done it in a long time. But, yeah. I think I finished second. I didn't keep score. But so, no, Blankers is better than me. There's no doubt about it.
All right, so I'm going to get out of here. So just I want to just recap you guys. I got to go. So just a couple things you missed from today. I didn't realize that you calling me Joe Espada was not a public radio story when you texted me about saying I have poor communication skills. about tomorrow and Thursday when you have to engineer?
He told Houston about
it. He doesn't even remember.
Oh, but
he texted me calling me Joe Espada, and he looks dumbfounded.
No, I didn't know. Well, I talk a lot of trash.
Well, so I just publicly told that story because I assumed you already told
it. Here's what I appreciate about myself.
Wow. Okay. Oh, I love me some me. Thank you, T.O.
Here's what I appreciate about myself. I didn't do that behind your back. I texted you. You're Joe Espada.
Yes,
so let's let the record show
that if I'm talking trash,
I'm going to talk trash to you.
I can back that up. Jeremy started the show yesterday talking trash about how I parked yesterday.
I saw that picture. It was a tough look.
It was a bad parking job.
And just
before
I leave, just in case, because there'll be texts that might be confusing. I'm a cat dad now. I got a cat, or I'm getting a cat.
For real?
Yeah. Yes.
Or a dog. Legitimate.
Yeah. Legit.
Someone on Twitter, Colin from Apollo tweeted out this little kitten got lost during the storm and almost got hit by a truck, and they're looking for a home, so I'm taking it.
Is your kid allergic to cats?
No, he's not.
Okay, good.
I have like a little allergy, but I'll be fine.
how can you have a little allergy?
If I just like touch my nose,
that stuff doesn't usually get better though.
I know.
Usually gets worse.
But my kid wants a cat, so I'm a good dad. Oh, and then I told I said they should trade Framber Valdez at the trade deadline.
Oh, we know.
It's in the Google Doc. It's in the Google Doc.
I saw it on the golf course. I saw the tweet. I go, Blakers, take a look at this. We're going to talk about this.
All right, well, goodbye. Yeah. See ya. Killer Bees, Joel and Jeremy, they're finally going to show up for work.
Thank you for hanging out for 43 minutes.
Hey, you guys look better than Lance. He looked like he was struggling when he walked in. He gave us a big head shake and, no, I'm not doing okay. So.
To be fair, I struggled down the stretch.
All right,
so
goodbye.
I can't really talk a whole lot of trash. All right, Astros lose yesterday. They fall to the Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles in West Orange County, California. But the story of this one, Framber Valdez was a mess. Framber Valdez was a train wreck. Framber Valdez was, what do we do on the show? He was a car wreck. What do we think about Framber Valdez going rogue and calling his own pitches in that game yesterday during the meltdown in the fifth inning when it looked like the Astros had control of that game? How do we feel about that? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees, I guess, start when we come back. It's the Killer Bees broadcasting live from Highland Pines on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Have I told you lately about Pro Dunk Hoops? It's so good. The goals from Pro Dunk Hoops are fantastic. They make the highest quality basketball goals you'll ever find. Tempered glass backboard gives you the true, authentic, real feel off the glass. Breakaway rim in case you're throwing down some jams. Stainless steel hardware, which is fantastic. Also, it's height adjustable. You want to throw down some jams? It doesn't matter how tall you are. It doesn't matter how poor your vertical leap is, because you can lower it all the way down to 5 feet, raise it all the way up to 10 feet. Their new goal, Thor, has a lightning adjust feature. You can raise and lower the goals with a drill. How easy is that? 5 feet, 10 feet, matter of seconds. It's idiot-proof. It's fun to do. Get Thor. Get the lightning adjust feature. Also, their accessories are next level. LED light kits for night play. Look, we understand that sometimes it's going to cool off in the summer once the sun goes down. Yeah, I'm smart enough to figure that out. Well, get LED light kits. That way you can play at night. Backstop nets. Don't chase the basketball around. Pull pad lettering. Lots more. And you can order everything, including professional installation online. That's right. The pros from Pro Dunk Hoops will install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't lift a finger. Let the pros from Pro Dunk install your goal and do all of the work for you. Give them a call now, 281-351-9822, and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Dave Matthews Band Live, Friday, May 31st, the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion, presented by Huntsman.
He wakes up in the morning. Free, can you love from a sad baby, don't you cry. In the dark, in the night, don't let go, baby.
Dave Matthews Band. On sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Part of the Xfinity Concert Series presented by the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion.
Paid for by Jackpot.com. You must be 18 or older to order a lottery ticket. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Listen up, Texas. At Jackpot.com, you can now buy your favorite lottery games, including Powerball, Mega Millions, Pick 3, Lotto Texas, and more, right from your phone. Just choose your favorite lottery game, pick your lucky numbers, and get your winnings instantly. Buy official Powerball, Mega Millions, and Pick 3 tickets right from your phone at Jackpot.com. Plus, right now, use promo code Texas to get a free lottery ticket with your first play.
I love playing
the lottery, and Jackpot.com makes it so easy because you can buy all your tickets right from your phone.
Jackpot.com notifies me right away if I win. It's safe and secure, and I never have to worry about losing my lottery tickets again.
This is the greatest thing ever. I can buy tickets right on my phone for all my favorite state lottery games while I'm sitting on my couch at home.
Don't wait. Go to Jackpot.com and buy lottery tickets on your phone. Plus, right now, use promo code Texas to get a free lottery ticket with your first play. Go to Jackpot.com. That's Jackpot.com. Jackpot.com.
Jagger out of here. Brinkman Quality Roofing is a local family-owned business and are the roof experts in shingle roofs, tile roofs, solar shingle roofs, metal roofing, and commercial roofing products. Brinkman has 100% financing available and free, no obligation estimates. If your roof is starting to look bad, Brinkman's proprietary solution can make it look new again until you're ready to replace. Brinkman Quality Roofing is the one to call at 281-480-ROOF. That's 281-480-ROOF. Or go to BrinkmanQuality.com.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highland Pines Golf Club in Porter. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
People were demanding it. The Twitch did it. The Twitch was demanding it. I don't know why, but the Twitch was demanding it. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Highland Pines for the occasional invitation. Great time. The first time that I played it, and I don't know if you played it. Have you played in it before?
I'm sure
you have.
I have not.
Great time. Gilbert, Dave, they were fantastic partners. They told us not to tell us or to tell the listeners how much they carried us on the air, so we won't. We won't tell you how good they were at golf and how much they carried Blankers and I, although we did have the betting game, and I think we finished 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
Blankers, your game's good, man. Like, I know that you're rusty and you haven't played in a while. Blankers squishes on the golf ball better than anybody I've seen. Like, his shaft angle is fantastic. His club lean is unbelievable. The point of impact that Blankers had is exactly what you want. It was very, very good. And don't get used to me complimenting.
No, I don't. You actually gave me a fist bump on the course. I was like,
only the only one I gave.
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing?
I don't do that very often.
You're not supposed to do that. That was a lot of fun, and that's the first time that you and I actually did something like that. And it was extremely enjoyable. The guys, as you mentioned, were great. And honestly, the pace of play was not as slow as I thought it would be, and it's really hot out there. It was a good time.
Yeah. I actually knew Gilbert in a roundabout way. I saw him whenever I walked up to my cart this morning, and I was like, I know you from somewhere. But I couldn't place it, and then I went to hit the balls in the range. I was like, oh, yeah, now I know.
There he is.
Now I know why I know Gilbert. I won't tell anybody else why I know Gilbert. Anyways, Astros lose a baseball game yesterday. I'm sure everybody – you know what everybody says about somebody's golf game, that they're tired of hearing about somebody else's golf game. So we'll get into the Astros. Astros yesterday fall to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim from Orange County that resides in California. And this was a disaster. And the storyline of this game was Framber Valdez. You're cruising. The offense is lighting up Reed Detmers. You have a four spot in the second. You score two more in the fourth. You lead 6-1 after four with stinking Framber Valdez on the mound. I'm nestling in. I'm thinking cruise control. I'm thinking easy victory in game one of this three-game series. And Framber Valdez shows us the bipolar Framber Valdez, the bad side of Framber Valdez. He goes absolutely rogue, starts getting shelled, starts calling his own pitches, starts serving up every single pitch in his arsenal, middle, right down the D to everybody. What in the world happened to Framber Valdez in the 7-run fifth inning last night at Minute Maid Park?
Look, it's as simple as calling it like we've always called it and being as honest as you can. It's all about what's going on between Framber's ears, and it happened right away at the start of the inning. At the start of the inning, he's up 0-2 in the count. He has no business putting a ball that was that hittable right in the heart of the plate, and it gets hit for a base hit, and suddenly you can see him start doing the head shake. And when the head shake like a bobblehead happens, you know that it's about to pop off, and things are not going to go well. Well, a couple batters later, he gives up a 3-run bomb. Now he's full-blown bobblehead. Now he's shaking all over the place. Now he's strutting around. Now you can see the steam coming out of his ears. He's completely ticked off, and he decided, I am just going to get up there on the rubber as fast as I can, and I am just going to throw nothing but whatever I feel, wherever I want to place it, and live with the results. And all he did was sit there and throw balls right over the meat of the plate until it was too late. And it was ridiculous, and it was mental, And it really ticked me off because I was like you. 6-1, I'm writing off another win on this homestand going, Mariners are losing? Cut it to 3? Are you kidding me? This is fantastic. And then the wheels fell off and he was just ridiculous.
I don't understand. I don't get it. Like, if I try to put my feet into Fromber's shoes, okay, let's think about, like, what Fromber's thinking in that moment. I think he might have gotten bored a little bit, like, if I'm being completely honest. Like, you're cruising to a 6-1 lead. Maybe he's getting a little bored there in the top of the fifth. I don't know. But you see that inning starts off with a single by Willie Calhoun. Zach Neto walks, so it's like, okay, first and second, you don't love this. But and then the next guy, he gets to strike out swinging. Okay, cool. First and second, one out, you're still leading 6-1, no big deal. And even when the next dude hits a home run, okay, don't love that, but it's still a two-run game. It's a two-run game, you're in the fifth inning, Fromber just got out of this inning, and you still feel really good about winning a game that you lead by two halfway through. You feel really good about leading the game in the middle of the fifth by two runs. He gets the next guy to ground out, okay, two outs, nobody on base, we're in business, we got a two-run lead, we're going to win this game. Taylor Ward, single. Kevin Pillar, single. Logan O'Hoppy, however you pronounce his name,
right.
Home run. And all of a sudden, the Angels are back in front. Joe Adell, first pitch he sees, opposite field home run. It was I know that Fromber Valdez is bipolar. I know he shows the good side and the bad side. This was the most roller coaster of a ride that we've ever seen in the history of Fromber Valdez.
There's no doubt about it. And as you watched it all unfold right before your eyes, I kept saying to myself, just keep the lead. Keep the lead, get him out of there. I'm not even worried about him getting the win anymore. I need to get him out of there because I need to make sure that they maintain this lead, because you can feel the momentum had fully switched until after he gave up the bomb. Then on the Adell home run, now they're strutting around the bases and they are feeling good about themselves. And it's like, okay, you had a pitcher that was gettable that you were getting. He's out. You got a new pitcher in. You got guys that are just all over loving everything about life with the way they're hitting him. And you just, at that point, I felt deflated. Like, it's over, and it's all because of one guy. The rest of the team was hitting. They were doing their jobs. They were playing defense. And Fromber just decided, when he got ticked off, to just essentially mail it in. And there's no excuse for that. These are the kind of things that should worry the organization, too, about looking at this guy and saying, it doesn't matter how good he is as a pitcher. If he doesn't figure this stuff out between his ears, I don't want to risk running up a contract for multiple years at a huge amount of money for a guy that can't stabilize mentally.
I think that ship has sailed. I think that decision has already been made, but I think yesterday's the nail in the coffin. That Fromber Valdez is absolutely not a guy that you give a long-term extension to. Like, how could you justify that? How could you justify giving big money to a Fromber Valdez who you never know what you're going to get? Where, yeah, half the time he's going to pitch like a Cy Young guy, but then half the time, like the second half of last season, he's going to pitch like an over 4 ERA. How can you give big long-term – and somebody will, but it ain't going to be me.
Nope.
How are you going to give somebody long-term, big-time money for a guy who's going to go rogue and abandon the game plan in the fifth inning and give up a 7 spot? And you can circle back all the way to spring training. Fromber Valdez got to spring training with a wild hair that he's going to call his own pitches. In what world is that a good idea? Who has ever said that Fromber Valdez calling his own pitches is a good idea? But the Astros, okay, let's appease him for a little bit. He gets shelled in his first spring training start, which who cares at spring training? But he got crushed so much that he gave that up. He gave that up. And he thought, okay, middle of the fifth inning in a big league game when my team needs to win baseball games. Yes, we're playing well recently, but we've already like built this hole. We're behind the eight ball. I'm just going to start calling pitches again because that worked so stinking well in spring training.
It was so frustrating and annoying because he put himself so far above the team and then left them all out high and dry, because no matter how much he had a whole lot of I don't care, the fact is he really dug a hole that his team wasn't able to get out of, and it became, unfortunately, that small run differential was enough to say it was almost insurmountable. Yeah, in the last inning they had a shot because they put a couple guys on base. It shouldn't have come to that. It shouldn't have come close to that. And the fact is that you can, you know, everybody's, Maldonado would have got him. Maybe Maldonado would have been able to reel him in. But short of Martin Maldonado, a guy that wants to be your ace, that has basically said that he wants to be your ace and thinks he is, acts as anything but your ace, and you're telling me that you need a veteran catcher that can yank him in and get the cane with the hook and bring him in and say, stop doing this so that we can win a ball game? No, you're supposed to have the maturity. You're supposed to have the experience. You're supposed to have the ability to be able to get yourself, gather your thoughts, bring it all together and get at least one more out so that someone else can carry that victory down the stretch. And instead, he just put kerosene and all kinds of gasoline on a fire.
I think you're right about the part where you said that he feels like he's an ace, which, again, half of Framber Valdez is an ace, but the other half of Framber Valdez is not an ace, in that he thinks that he can do that kind of stuff. Like, he thinks he's Justin Verlander, where, hey, you know, this first-year catcher, Yiner Diaz, he doesn't know what he's doing. I'm going to call my own pitches because I know what I'm doing. And quite frankly, Framber Valdez is not that guy. I've defended Framber Valdez. I think Framber Valdez has unbelievable stuff. I think he's really stinking good. I think he's mentally weak, and he should have nothing to do with calling his own pitches. But he's not Justin Verlander. He should continue to apply the game plan. Framber Valdez is the kind of guy that you buy for what he's worth, and you sell him for what he thinks he's worth.
No doubt about it, because at least from afar, you know that teams, as much as you don't know how well they would deep dive into finding out the psychological and all the other things with Framber, you can't argue with his stuff when it's on. When it's on, you're talking about top-shelf stuff. There's no denying that. And he has mow down, lights out, just I dare you to get in the box and think that you have a chance. Off-balance stuff. He's fantastic. But because of what's going on between his ears, because of the fact that he can't reel it in, and that he can't actually focus when he needs to, it is such a dangerous, almost ticking time bomb for any team that takes him on. Because, yeah, you're going to have your good moments. Yeah, there's going to be when he's rolling and when he's getting offensive support. Yeah, that's a guy that you can rely on to get you wins. But when you need him most, or at any time when you're not expecting it, when the wheels come off, you don't know how you're going to be able to reel him in. You shouldn't have to rely on getting a veteran catcher so that he can kind of grab him by the bootstraps and say, come on, man, get it together. That's what a true ace is supposed to be able to do.
713-780-ESPN. Our text line's lighting up on the fact that they should fire Joe Espada. Do we think that the hook should have been quicker for Framber Valdez? Also, whenever we come back, look, Framber Valdez going rogue, unacceptable, but this also needs to be a lesson on Yiner Diaz. We'll explain next. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Highland Vines on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, right now, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Bull Shirts. I love them. They were out here today at the golf course. They are absolutely fantastic. They are as loyal and local as you get, because they can do everything for you right here in Houston, Texas. And I mean everything. If you need a tent for an event like a golf tournament like today, they got them. If you need, you know, all kinds of promotional items for a gift bag within anything you're doing, from a birthday party to a golf tournament to anything in between for sponsors and or customers, they got them. But the thing that they also do better than everybody else, those are T-shirts. And they do them because, and they're local. So that means if there's any mistakes, they can fix the mistakes quickly, rectify the problems, make sure they get them to you when you need them, and take care of everything. They are so good and so loyal and so excellent at what they craft and what they do. They've done everything that they need to do, because the Astros use them, the Rockets use them, and you should too. Bull-shirts.com gets the process started. You go and check out anything you need. Family reunion, you need T-shirts, they got them. All the other things I told you about, they can handle it. They can handle all the business, and they can do it locally where they can rectify the problems quickly. Check them out today, bull-shirts.com.
ESPN 97.5.